Kia ora and welcome to this episode of Better Off Red. My name's Pip Adam and this is episode 124. And we are back in Beyond a Joke season. Haha. This is Beyond a Joke, Beyond a Joke 12. So this is a series where I talk to people about things that make them laugh. And in this episode, I talked to Gabby Anderson, which is very exciting for me. So I was incredibly grateful when Gabby said yes to being part of the Verb After Hours Beyond a Joke event that was run last year as part of the Verb Festival. Thank you very much, Verb, as well. In this episode, we begin with a recording that was taken on the night of Gabby's performance at that event, and then Gabby and I have a chat about it. We talk about how Gabby developed it, questions and thoughts about writing comedy about family. And yeah, it was an incredible conversation, and I was very, very grateful to Gabby to take the time to do it in busy times. One of the busy times that Gabby is having is that with Oren Ruane Prattley, Gabby is producing Truth Be Told for The Fringe. There are links in the newsletter about that, and I would definitely go to that. It is amazing. Incredible. So yeah, this is this episode. I am recording this intro on the 29th of January, a day sort of in the weekend of, because it looks like the rain unfortunately has started again in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. And just, yeah, wanted to say sending lots of thoughts and lots of love, which I know often feels like empty kind of sentiment, but yeah, I'm just, yeah, I hope everyone is doing okay. I know that everyone isn't doing okay. And yeah, if there's anything I can do to help, you can find me at the Substack or on Twitter or anywhere like that. But yeah, so that's where we're at. And I hope you enjoy this podcast. It's a really great conversation. And whether you listen to it this weekend or whether you listen to it later, yeah, I really hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's so lovely to be here. I'm Gabby, and I just want, can we give it up for Pip, please? That was awesome. Amazing. Instead of saying making eye contact now, I'm just going to say I'm going to drag the puppies off the ground and make eye contact. I'm Gabby Anderson. I work as a high school teacher. Thank you so much. And I think we're going to be really good for the upcoming union negotiations. No, you guys secretly love it. And then in my spare time, I'm also a stand-up comedian. And when Pip asked me to come on this show, I was really stoked because I was like, a literary show? I've made it. So it's very nice to be amongst you all. And Pip said to think about something that you find funny or something that makes you laugh. And for me, a lot of my stand-up is based in my family. And so I thought tonight I would share a few stories with you about my family. They're not stand-up stories, they're just stories that we find funny, / I tell my mum and she's like, I don't know about sharing that one. But what happens in the room stays in the room. So I come from a big family. There's five of us kids, and there's 7 years between us. Yes, Catholics. So it's all quite chaotic. It's all quite fun. And I think a thing that epitomises my family, I was thinking about it, is when we go on car trips. Is anyone else here from a big family? Yeah, the Vic books. We love it. We love it at the back. So if you come from a big family, you know what it's like. You all sort of pile into the car and you'll want to get the good seat. No one wants to be in the lap belt. But we actually had a roster in my family, so we knew where we were able to sit at certain times. Always had to follow the roster. And it was sort of like we spent a lot of time in our Honda Odyssey. It was maroon, and it's obviously named Literary Crowd after the Odyssey. And that's because I assume when you're in it, like 10 years passes, you know. It's taking so long to get anywhere. But we'd all sit in the back and then we'd do all the different after-school activities and Mum would just, like, chuck a French stick in the back and then we'd all, like, eat it up like that. Just hiff some grapes. And if we were really lucky, some of you might relate to this, we'd get, should buy a small jar of cashew nuts and we were allowed three each. Pretty special, Catholic. But my family, I was sort of thinking about it, and the thing that they did a lot, like we'd go on car trips and we'd go stay in youth hostels. Does anyone else stay in youth hostels as a kid? Yeah, because they took it really literally. They were like, oh, for the youth. And then we used to go to this one at Te Aroha, which is about an hour and a half out of Auckland, and it was an old villa, and it would sleep about 10 people, I think. So it'd be like my family of seven and sort of three like German backpackers. Oh, God. I think one time we were there, there'd been like a knit outbreak. So we were like all doing the big knit thing in the lounge. The Germans were like trying to do shots on the side. come, we'll go through with the Roby comb. But often, like when we were on these long car trips, we'd get a bit restless in the car. And one thing my parents used to do is that if we were really naughty, they'd say, right, out your hop. And then they'd say, we're leaving you. We're leaving you behind. You're no longer part of this family. And they would start driving off like really fast, like 10 kilometres or so an hour. And you'll be like 8 years old. You'll be like, no, please don't leave me alone. Like running. It was so, so, so stressful. Your siblings will be loving it. They'd like wind down the window. They'll be jeering. They'll be like, we're taking your Polly Pockets. No, not the Polly Pockets. But people like at school, I think, were afraid like of the beep test. But for me, I was like, it's nothing. It's nothing compared to your whole family leaving you behind on State Highway 3. I don't know. How many do we have? Actually, I've been using that technique a little bit with my friends, like when they're in the car and they're misbehaving. I just say, hop out. I was actually going to have a friend come to the gig tonight, but I kicked them out. another thing that we used to do on these family car trips, when we lived over in the Netherlands for a little bit when I was about 8 years old. My family moved us over there. My dad got an opportunity and he was like, it's an adventure. So we lived in this small village and we used to go on bike rides every Sunday to kind of explore. We were in the south of the Netherlands, so we're kind of on the border of Belgium. And one time we were cycling around and Dad, I don't know, it's like that typical thing where he took the map and then he got really lost, you know, and then refused to admit that he was lost and we just went deeper and deeper and deeper into, I don't even know where, I assume Belgium, but could have been Germany, eh, because the borders, I don't know how borders work, we're in New Zealand. But one time we were so lost on our bike trip and the only way we could get back is we sort of ended up by this like 6-lane autobahn. And then Dad was like, we have to cross it. And in hindsight, I'm like, why didn't we turn around and go back? But at the time, we had to cross it. And I remember my mum, so Dad took us across, like, one by one. Do you know what I mean? Like, one sibling at a time. And for every time a sibling left, like, we all had to do, like, a big farewell. She was like, this could be it. We love you heaps, Phoebe, and it really happened. I'm so stressed. I was like, but at least on the flip side, like I'm a little bit prepared. Like if anything does happen to my siblings, I've kind of already said my goodbyes. Do you know? But yeah, I think there is something funny about traveling with your family and just the chaos of all being in like a cramped environment and being unable to escape, obviously, unless you're kicked out. And one last thing I'll tell you about is, again, when we were overseas and we were in... my grandparents came over from New Zealand to visit us and it was really, really exciting. And as a treat, my dad hired a minivan. I don't know, Honda Odyssey Maximus. and took us to, we were driving around, we were driving in Luxembourg and my mum wanted to buy some plates. Deep nods from the literary crowd. I don't know if you do this, but in our house, my mum, she buys plates and then she sticks them on the wall. I know, it's so weird. It's very weird. I always wanted to go and put like a little knife and fork next to it. But there was an underground car park and we were in a minivan. And you know when underground or car parks and they have those things, height restrictions, and no one reads them? My dad did not read it. And we got wedged in that car park. And, like, nothing ever has, like, ever, like, been the same amount of stress that I've experienced when I was, like, 8 years old. When we were wedged into that car, like, wedged in that minivan. You've been wedged in a car. We were wedged. It was like when you get a piece of toast in the toaster and you can't get it out. Hey, relatable, metaphor. Nothing is more stressful than that, and just everyone crying and like five Luxembourgish security guards just yelling at us. We actually managed to get out, but we did lose the aerial, I think, and the car got really scratched. But it was okay because Mum had already like got us to say goodbye to the aerial. Anyway, those are just some stories from my family. Thank you so much for listening. You've been so wonderful. Thank you so much.
Hi, Gabby.
Kia ora, Pip. How are you?
I'm really good. Sorry. My hello always sounds strange in these.
No, I thought it sounded great.
It sounded great.
It's a little bit artificial to start with, but there you go. It's really great. Thank you very much for coming up to the station to chat today. I really appreciate it. And I just wondered if we could start off with you introducing yourself however you would like to introduce yourself.
That sounds great. Oh, well, thank you for having me here. I'm very excited to be on a podcast because normally I'm listening on the other side. My name is Gabby. I've been doing stand-up comedy for 5 years, since 2018, coming into my sixth. I also work as a high school teacher, teaching English, but I have actually just cut back to do relief so I can focus more on performance. So great. I think when I was at Verb and I introduced myself, I said I was a teacher, and then in my spare time I do comedy, and then I was listening to it this year and I was like, ooh, it's kind of maybe flipped. I hope. Yeah, so kind of aspiring creative.
That is just so great. Like, I mean, I feel extremely, as a big fan of yours, I feel very excited that that's happening. I'm always really excited when people get time to do their stuff because I'm jealous and hungry. I'm like, give me more.
I think I was like, if not now, then when, you know? So.
Yeah, I think you get to a point sometimes, eh? It's just whoa, now's the time. I was wondering where we usually start. Like this is a slightly different podcast than the way that we would normally do it, and that other people have sort of bought things from other places, but I'm really grateful that you're willing to talk about the performance that you gave on that night for the Verb After Hours. And I just wonder, like, what I normally start by doing is asking people if they could describe the object. And I wonder, like, I guess you could take that question however you wanted it, whether it's the performance itself or whether it's the stories that sort of made you laugh that you brought to the performance. So, yeah, do you want to start by describing that object?
Yeah, that sounds great. I think when I was doing the Verb event, I was like, I want to talk about my family, because if we think about them, this sounds bad, but like the object. I feel like a lot of my comedy is like it started there. And so if I were to describe my family, I would say, so I'm from a big family. There's five of us. I have five kids. So there's my older sister, Bridget, myself, Jack and Juliet, her twins, and then Phoebe.
Awesome twins.
Yeah, I know. They love it. and then we're all quite close in age. And then both of my parents. And I feel like our family's quite, we think we're like, you know, how all, we just function how we function, but I think we're quite extreme in how we act together, big emotions, what we can, you know, how your families kind of develop their own kind of culture and way of being. So I find that really interesting when you leave home and you're like, oh, everyone's doing different things, you know, because we were quite a unit.
And I think, you know, that was one of the things I thought was really interesting. I'm a bit obsessed at the moment about how, like, you know, comedy is often a cultural thing, you know, like it's like we need to share an idea. And I'm always really interested in these stories that sort of take things from a place that has its shared culture and kind of presents it to a larger audience. Oh, wow, we do sound like we're in New York.
It's New York, baby.
The cars are going past. I just wonder, like, I don't know. Do you have anything to say about that? Like how the things that are funny in your family, how do you sort of develop them into something that's funny in a wider... My God, that's a huge
question. No, I've been thinking about this because I was like, I don't think the things that I'm talking about, because I was, you know, preparing for this, I was like, I don't think those things that I talk about, they weren't funny
often at the time.
Like, they're funny now with our family. We're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we ran alongside the car, or, you know, everyone was really upset that one time. But at the time, they're not funny at all. So I was like, how do families even, like, decide when something is funny? I don't know if this is getting funny. It's almost like you take these experiences where there's, like, heightened emotion, and then that translates to funny later on.
And you see, like, I mean, I'm always like, give me the easy answer when I'm looking, like, when I'm reading things, I'm like, what's the easiest answer? And, you know, that idea of tragedy plus time equals comedy.
No, I thought I would be like, no, mine's different, but mine's exactly the same.
But I think, like, what I really love about the performance is that I think it's even more, it's obviously, like, with all those things that are like, show, don't tell, do this, don't do that.
Yeah.
I think that it's a lot more complex and nuanced than that. But I do think this idea of when we decide that something's funny, and I don't know what your family's like, but there are some things that certain parts of my family will laugh at and other parts won't, you know?
Yeah, it's like, someone will do the walk out. Like, well, I remember that time done it, I got angry, they're still really sore about it. It's me, I'm walking out,
It's so true, it's so true. One of the things, talking about this experience, I'm interested in the way that this, I know that this is your family, so some of the words I'm going to use, I hope they're not
horrible. Describing them as the object.
Yes, the object. We're fine. We've gone over that line.
I'll give them the heads up. We've
gone over the line. But I was just wondering about how you package those stories. Like, I think that at the start of the piece, you say that it's slightly different from what your normal stand-up is. And I just wonder around the decision to do that, and maybe even just, like, have you got any clear idea about how it's different? Yeah.
Yes, so I think when I went into the event and thinking about what to say, often I would really be selective of what stories I kind of knew were funny and like guaranteed. But because the idea was that we were presenting an object, you know, I was like, how about I just sort of give more of a rounded picture and a little bit for me, my own experiment, see what actually sticks. Rather than trying to judge it, like often in comedy you're sitting, you're by yourself and you're trying to judge what's funny. And I was like, how about I have the opportunity myself to explore the concept of funny? And then when I was listening, I feel like sometimes the funny came in, not the stories, but the wee comments off it that I didn't plan, that just happened in the moment because you're with the audience. And maybe you're like, oh gosh, maybe this isn't funny, so what can I do to connect with you or bring you into the story? Yeah, so in that way I went back a little bit, and now, you know, I've done some stand-up using some of the stuff from that event, and I've just used the one story because I felt like the one story about crossing the motorway, that one felt the most extreme and maybe has been with me for the longest. And I didn't expect that to be funny. And then I remembered the story, and then people were laughing. I was quite surprised because I was like, I just have no idea. I cannot believe that this happened. Yeah, if that makes sense. So I tried to kind of rewind the process to, often when I find my humour, it's when I'm talking with my friends and we're reminiscing, and then I'll be like, oh yeah. And then I'll write it. I'll be like, please excuse me, and I'll write something on my phone. Yeah.
It just, I mean, I so love this idea because this is like me not knowing anything. I just find this process of, and I might have this wrong, so please correct me, but this necessity of an audience, if you know what I mean. Like this, you know, like the things that make me laugh really make other, I don't know how to describe it, but it's just that thing that it is really, it's still a surprise and interesting, which must make stand-up such a great job.
Do you mean like, do you mean like how the audience react? Yes, I think that's the most fun part.
Yeah.
So as well as that, like sometimes when you've got jokes and you've tested them and you know they're going to work, sometimes I'm like, maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I want to do this one because I don't know if it will work. Yeah. Which is probably the producers are like, please do the one that works. But I remember doing stand-up like for the first time and just being shocked that people were laughing because you're standing on a stage with a microphone. Like, I think a lot of people could do stand-up. If you just pause and look at the audience, people tend to like think, oh, it's my cue. Like, I think our audiences are super nice.
Because that was something I was thinking about in the structure of your piece. Like, because it was more stories, again, like, I hope I'm saying this the right way, but this idea of an audience that starts to feel the rhythm of setup, punchline, you know, pause for effect, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I do often find myself in that situation where I'm like, a laugh comes now. And I think that was what was so interesting about putting it in more of a story is that it seems like just the perfect, if I'm getting what you're saying right, it seems like that perfect way of like really testing it to see what is hitting in a way that isn't like, I don't want to say manipulation because it's not about manipulation, but you know, like, it's sort of outside the structure, which I think is really great.
Yeah, I think if I'd come in and be like, I know that this is funny and I've done this before, versus being like, this concept is funny to me, the family on holiday illustrates, or travelling together illustrates that perfectly, so what is it? I mean, I still don't really know. I really don't.
Because I feel so grateful. Yeah, just exactly what you're saying. Like, I just found it so interesting because, in myself, you know, like, I love the way that that spontaneous laugh is just so amazing. Like, when you're watching something and like to give space, which I think is what's so great about the way that you did it, is there's space for that to come without, you know, thinking, all right, now, and then it just, I really love it.
Thank you.
Really love it.
Very, very kind to my sort of, oh, something.
I just really like, I mean, and that obviously, well, I don't know if it's obvious, but it kind of leads on to Tiny Dog. And I wonder, can you talk a little bit? Can you maybe introduce Tiny Dog? So, because I might make a mistake. So,
Tiny Dog is an improv troupe or group. Is troupe just a French word for group?
I think we should. Troupe. That sounds very good. Troupe.
In Wellington, and we have monthly shows at that. So we've got five core members. And the idea is that, yeah, we all know each other really well and we have a foundation of like trust and support, and then from there we can play. And I'm a big improv nerd, so I'm very, very happy to do Tiny Dog.
And this, I mean, what, like, I'm absolutely obsessed with improv at the moment. Yes, like, yes, just because of it. Yes, and
you've got to cut that. No jokes, jokes.
But I was just thinking, like, in that way that, you know, like, the story that you tell in the piece at after Hours sort of does have some of the shape and structure of a story. You know, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's, you know, a crisis, and, you know, there's all those things. But one of the things that I absolutely love about improv, and, like, just so enjoyed that night at Tiny Dog, is the fact that there's something, what am I trying to say? Even though there's a desire possibly to wrestle the story back into a structure, it just keeps, like, exploding out, eh?
Yeah. I feel like, in that way, improv's so freeing. And once, I mean, I never really can wrestle a story back into a structure because I have no idea what's going on. I mean, some people are like, it's hard to get the story out of your head and, like, you want to keep the story on track. But I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sort of just on stage. And as our kind of vibe for Tiny Dog, the idea is that we play to support, and we've all said to each other that we love it when it goes in unexpected places, so we try to do that for each other.
Because that, I mean, I know that we laugh about Yes And, but I mean, Jesus, you know, like, what a beautiful, beautiful thing to offer somebody, you know, like,
and it's just, so I find sometimes, and I've been trying hard to combine them, but I sometimes feel like, for me, my stand-up persona's over here and my improv persona's over here, and I would love to bring them closer, because improv's like it's so nice to be on stage and be in a team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, versus that you're more individual with stand-up, so then you've got to think about how you can maybe create that spontaneity with the audience.
Yeah.
That's what I've been thinking lately, really trying to listen a bit more and be present.
Yeah. Because that, I mean, that is one of the things that just blew my mind. I often think that with improv, I did drama for a very short time at school, and it just, a lot of the drama seemed to be a lot in the olden days and not in that improvisation kind of space. A lot of it was about me, I'm here, I'm on stage, la la. And every time I see improv, what I love about it is that it seems to be the opposite of that. It's like, get myself out of the road so that the performance can come in or something, I don't know.
It's exactly like, it's the easiest way to be present because you're being present for someone else. So you're like, instead of like, oh, what can I do in this scene to make it look good? You're like, what does my partner need right now? Well, how can I give that to them? And then, this is all in the ideal world, but that's what you're trying to do.
And just that incredible thing, I think I'm being a bit utopian, but let's all live in improv land. But just that wonderful thing, like what I see time and time again is I'm kind of craving for the laugh. I'm like, oh, you know, sometimes I find myself in conversation kind of, you know, shoving people out of the way going, and then he said, and then, but what seems so different in improv, it's like a laugh for that person is a laugh for everybody kind of thing.
It's incredible. I agree. Yeah, it's just, absolutely.
It just blows my mind. I really, 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 really love it. And I know this is a really, I don't know, this is a question anyway, I won't judge it. No, but I do, with this kind of like burgeoning sort of expansive kind of storytelling that happens in improv, I've always wondered, like, how do you know when it's finished? Like, how do you know when a bit's finished?
There's a, what we've been doing lately is say, it's never too early to sweep.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I love that.
So as soon as you have an inkling that it could be done, it's done. And then the idea is, because we talked about this, we're like, well, what if we're interrupting each other or cutting each other off? But actually, in improv, you can just bring it back.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it cannot be done. But if you think it's done, it's probably done. You know, I've never ever felt like, oh man, someone cut me off. I've always been like, oh, thank you. That's a gift. I had no idea what I was going to say. Yeah,
it's so interesting because I remember one of the best teachers I ever had used to say, get in late, get out early, like for a short story. Ooh. Which I really, really liked. Like, and he was really great at just kind of, you'd write a story and he'd just sort of say, right, chop off those first two paragraphs, let's just start here, and then let's not stick around too long. And I was just thinking, never too early to sweep is just such a beautiful way of putting it.
Do you know what? That's the same. You need to be in Johnny Dog. Because, like, there's a thing in improv, like a learning again as well. It's like, try start the scene in the middle.
Yeah.
You don't really want to start your scene with like, hello. Like, you know, you want to be in the middle of something.
Because this is what I just find so magnificent with it as well, is that often we're in the middle, but then we're getting to know the person. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's this amazing, and I don't know if this is true, but one of the things that I like to fantasize about is that the performer is also making the character up. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm like, I have not a clue. Like, and they're like, and your name is, and I'm like, oh no.
Okay.
Every single name goes out of my head, you know. Like, but it's, yeah, you're absolutely right, and that's why it's nice. I think that's maybe where the crossover is between improv and comedy. It's like those surprises of like, you're surprising yourself.
Mm.
Yeah,
because that's one of the things I was thinking. Like, I'm not quite sure if I prepped you for this question, so just say no, but I was wondering about this idea of safety versus risk, you know, like this idea that, yeah, like to take a risk you kind of have to feel safe. And I was just thinking, yeah, like, I mean, in all sorts of ways, like obviously in the improv space, but I think also in comedy, like just letting an audience know, I don't know, like is that something that can be done to sort of let an audience know? Like, there's a moment in yours where I think you make a throwaway line about Catholicism, maybe? Like, do you maybe say...
I think I did. Yeah. I probably did.
Like you say,
there were quite a few little throwaway bits.
And yeah. And I was just thinking there was something in some of those throwaways that kind of said, it's okay, we're in this world. Like what you were saying before, like the throwaways were sort of a way to bring the audience back in. And I don't know, like, I don't know, anything you want to talk about as far as risk and safety goes? I don't know.
I really like, I don't know, how do I answer this? Not answer this, but like, I have a lot to, she says, I'm like, I have a lot to say. Silence.
Yeah.
I feel lucky because I learned to be on stage in improv.
Yeah.
And that is where you're encouraged to take risks and you're encouraged to fail.
Mm.
And the idea is that you find like delight in failure.
Love it.
And that's really, that's a really great, that was a really great thing for me. And then in stand up, I felt that I didn't actually understand how stand up worked when I started at all. And I thought you had to write a new set every time you went on stage. And I had no idea. So I'd spend like days, you know, writing this sort of average, like, and then I would be like, okay, well, that's done. And now on to the next one, you know, and like, but I think in that it's like, I didn't understand that you could like hone a joke so everything felt like kind of high risk.
Yeah, yeah.
And I enjoy taking a bit of a risk because it's like, I think sometimes if you're pushed up to that line and then you're like, oh no, I'm telling this and I know that it's not got a punchline, you have to find it because the audience is right there and you're like, I've got to do something. If it's a throwaway, if it's like a facial expression, I'm not saying like I'm the best at it, but I can feel it in me that I'm like, I've got to be, maybe it's a callback because they're quite reliable. Mm. I'm not aware of what I'm doing when I'm on stage. Unfortunately. I would boldly now like to proclaim on air.
Is that the game? If I knew what was going on, I'd bottle it. It'd be very good.
Yeah.
Because that I find super interesting as well, because I feel like I know comedy is scary and risky and vulnerable, but also there's that wonderful thing where like a fuck up's funny. So like even the failure can like be generative as well, if you know what I mean.
I think so. I think as long as I don't ask for me, I don't want the audience to feel worried.
Yeah.
So if I make a mistake, I don't want them to feel worried for me. I'm like, I got my own mistakes, it's all good.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna ask them to forgive me if I make a mistake. I'm just gonna be like, I'm probably not even gonna acknowledge it. I'll probably just pretend it was a big part of the plan.
It was the hugest but part
I
of the
plan. I think that's the thing of like, if I've got you guys and I'm up here and I'm all good, so you can laugh and you can not laugh and I'm gonna be fine. Maybe that's the education side of me as well, being like, well actually I'm allowed to I wouldn't say that to the audience, but I feel like I'm allowed to learn too and develop and grow and laugh.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I think I meant before about like just that permission that's given to the audience. Like I recently watched, I really love Kate Berlant, and I recently watched her stand up and there was so much awkward. Like it was I found myself just going, you know, like that kind of thing. And I so loved it. But I was thinking there's ways in which the audience can settle enough to be open enough to laugh, eh? Like,
yeah.
That's one of the weird things about it.
And sometimes I don't
have yeah.
Well, at least this is only 7 minutes and then you can get back to enjoying your evening. Wouldn't say that, but that's what I'm thinking, you know?
Oh my God, it sounds really incredible. Like, it sounds just like the most, because I think again it's almost like sport in that way that it matters a lot for 7 minutes and then it doesn't matter, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Like it's that really, even though obviously, you know, there are things, you know, like there are things that are life changing when you see a comedian, but there's just something very like that ephemeral, like the way it slides off is just so gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so good.
And then it's like you can do the same thing in different spaces and it can be received completely different. And that was for me, as when I was a young, like new comic, I found that really disorientating.
Yeah.
Like once I realised I could do the same set more than once, and then you do it in one place and it'll be really good, and then you do it another place and it'll be crickets. So I have no idea.
That kind of blows my mind because I always think, yeah, I don't know, this I'm really in love with this idea of sort of agent of chaos moments, and like this I don't know if that's what makes it so good. Like, yeah, I really love what you're saying about that sort of balance between the audience feeling safe for you, but also you sort of being out on the ledge kind of a little bit.
Yeah. I try, trying to push myself out of my safety zone, because otherwise it's too, it's repetitive.
Which is kind of, I don't know. I just find it really, really interesting. I guess, like, yeah, I don't know. I just find everything you're saying really interesting.
Oh, that's really good. Can I ask what you mean by agent of chaos? Because I think I got it, but then I was like,
I think I'm trying to be, I think what I'm talking about is an uncontrollable thing that's in the room, if you know what I mean. Like, if you think about it, like, in Tiny Dog, the agent of chaos, I'm sort of thinking, is whatever people put up on the board. You know, yeah. I think of that, which I thought was an incredible technology.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Nothing terrifies me more than going thinking someone's going to make me yell something out.
Absolutely. I don't know if we talked about this, but when we were creating it, we were like, what's a way that we can make even the most nervous person in the room feel included? And I mean, perhaps the most nervous person in the room doesn't even want to engage in writing on a post-it, but at least that's like, I know when I go to a comedy gig, I sweat if someone talks to me, and I'm a performer. How does it feel for people who aren't performers?
I think it's the most genius thing I've ever seen, because like, we I've been to, like, when tech was big, I think tech's still big apparently, but like, I used to go to lots of these conferences, and they were a lot about, you know, like, saying what you think, and I'm like, I need like an hour to tell you.
Yeah, and also like, not everybody feels sometimes as well, and I felt like this, you know, someone might say something and then the scene might not go well, and then that person thinks it's my fault, versus like, you could be like, I never wrote that in a post-it. Like, you know, it allows for a little bit more anonymity, or that word, because you don't want to be like, say something,
Because that's, I mean, I just really appreciated it, because it's something that often, not puts me off, but I get really, I could feel myself getting nervous and thinking, oh no. And then, I saw that and I was just like, I can either walk to my seat, or I can just write something down, or it's genius.
Oh, good.
Absolute genius. And
it's teacher in me, I think, being like, we all need to be included. Like,
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I guess other agents of chaos sort of things I'm thinking about are just things like the story that doesn't have a punchline, you know, like leading up thinking, shit, I'm going to have to find a way to close it. And also, I think, just those unexpected things that happen in improv, you know, like, what is your name? You know, I think that there's something very, I don't know, like, there seems to be something so productive about those. Like, they seem to be just, like, and I guess that's what I mean. Like, at the same time, they're very scary moments, but at the same time, they're very, like, they're the moments where the most creativity happens sometimes.
Yeah, I agree.
Just blows my mind. I think I asked you on the night, like, we haven't got that part in the recording, but I think I asked you in the night about writing about families, you know, writing about our family. And I just wonder, I don't really have a question formulated, because I just wondered if there's anything you want to talk about as far as writing about our families goes.
We can, because I was going over some old sets the other night. I was trying to find, I don't know, a joke or something, a single joke. And I had written myself like a little list when I started stand-up comedy about, it was like Gabby's Guide to Comedy. I was like, gosh, how bold. But it was like, think about how you talk about others on stage. Consider who the joke is always about, like, and then brackets, make it about you. And then it was like, lean into physicality and like being in your body. Like, it was just some notes that I'd just written down. And I like to think that when I do talk about my family, that the joke isn't about them, you know, the joke is about how we're all just trying to, I don't know, how we're all just trying to be and what we consider to be. I don't know how to say it, but I hope, you know, that I'm not laughing at them. I can understand. I hope there's some sense that I know that they're doing their best and I love them lots. And I consider myself like I've extremely privileged and like well loved and well looked after. So I hope that that comes through, you know?
And it definitely, I mean, that's what I think is so, when I was re-listening to it, that I think is so interesting in that thing I was talking about at the moment, I think I'm on the wrong track, but I'm really interested in how we let the audience know what we're laughing at, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, like, and I think that what I often felt in that story is that you weren't like on the outside going, whoa, look at those guys. It was like, this is our family unit. This is how we are in the world. I'm part of this.
Yeah.
The reason that, you know, the reason this is funny is because I love them and, you know, this, it felt shared, if you know what I mean.
And I think, and my parents have seen my comedy and I feel like no one laughs louder than them. You know, like they love it. Like they're like, oh, remember when we did that? Like we, like they, I think they're like, we authored this joke. Like we are the, like, you know, but they, you know, just like, I'll talk about like, cleaning growing up and my mum sort of doing like a hand clap laugh and like no one else is laughing, you know, so I think that hopefully helps me understand like what we're laughing at, you know.
Yeah, I love that.
It's not them, and maybe if they were offended they would let me know.
Yeah,
but I think I like to, I try to think about if I think about that before I go and say it.
Yeah, yeah. And like I don't know, like the other thing that I found really interesting, and I guess someone's probably written a thesis about it, but was just the way that you were talking about the particulars of your family, but there was something in it that sort of kind of reached into my memory and made me laugh. I was sort of joining my family with your family. Like there's a story in my family where my mum left me behind once. We were outside. My aunt had just had an exhibition. We were outside. The back door was locked and I couldn't get in the car, and my mum took off and she drove quite a long way. And that's, you know, that it was understandable. There's only my brother and I, but there was always a lot of noise. Yeah. And I think she had my cousins in the car. And I just remember what I thought was really funny about that. And the reason that I find it funny now is that I wasn't frightened at all. I knew she'd come back. But it was just one of those moments. I was just like, oh, I'll see you.
I think a lot of people, like, yeah, we all have these stories from our families. And often they are things that we understand to be normal, but they're actually chaotic. And you're just like, what? So when you maybe hear someone else talk about their own chaos, maybe you're like, yeah, that is like a bit like that. Like there's something really nice about it. Yeah, some people will come up and be like, oh, in my family, da 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 da. Yeah, and that's always a real nice part because you're like, oh yeah, like what? You know, and then of course we're like, this is adults, you know. So I think maybe there's something in that at the root of comedy is like a desire for connection for understanding and for shared experiences, I think.
I totally agree, because even that experience of being in a room and laughing together, it's quite beautiful. Like, I don't know, like, I've been in big places and small places, but just there's something, it's almost like shared singing. Like, I don't know, it's pretty incredible.
I do love a shared song, yeah, I do, yeah. But it is, it's like a way of, how nice to have a way of socializing and connecting where you don't have, you know, like, it's like singing or anything, I don't know, we could talk about sports, couldn't we? But it's just like we're connecting, but we're not having to just talk.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also like that idea of shared connection and, you know, like shared stories and just that thing of like, it's almost, I mean, like now I'm getting into psychoanalysis, but I do think also it's that thing where it's like, you're safe, I'm safe, you know, there's something there, you know, this thing happened to us and, you know, here we are, like you say, you know, we're adults and, you know, it's all good and we're all in the room and everything's great. And
I think as long as like there's a lot of like people will, you'll think you have a responsibility, obviously we're not on stage to care, yeah, after you've kind of, if you've thought about that, then you can kind of go from there. And then there'll be some people that are just like, what is she on about, you know? But that's okay, you know, that's okay. I think it's good to also accept that I am not gonna be like a comic for everyone, That's not what I'm trying to be. Yeah.
And this is one of the, I mean, I know there are longer, you know, like, you know, there's an hour long and there's all that, but there is something that I really love about those 7 minutes. I don't know, like, you know, there's so much room to experiment in those 7 minutes. You know, like, I saw this Stuart Lee thing a little while ago, and there was this just absolutely painful bit that went on for maybe 12 minutes that was trying to say, you know, a lot of people that say that they're cancelled, they can actually talk all the time, you know, and it just went on for a long time, and I was just like, really, it's only 10 minutes, you know what I mean? Like, and it just feels like there's just so much room to give it a go.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, like, someone else will be along in a minute, you know.
Yeah,
like,
and so, and when you go see a lineup show and you see lots of, yeah, you do get like a nice, although when you get a longer show, you can really build the relationship in a way that I hadn't anticipated. You know, people are already there to see you, so it's like, you don't have to be like, surprise, you know, and then get them on site. They already know you're there.
I'm here. Yeah, I just wondered if you were waiting for me. Oh my god, it's so great. So you talk a little bit about writing, and then, like, this sounds like a really cool process. I'm just thinking, quite a lot of people that listen to this podcast write stories and all sorts of things like that, but this, I really like this process. I think I'm hearing it right, you can correct me, this process of kind of like write, test, rewrite, is that right?
I think the way that I, you know, actually writing for me, writing like full sentences didn't actually work for me. I felt that it was a aspect of my voice, but it wasn't my voice. So once I started doing comedy in a way that worked for me, which is where I have bullet points on my phone or wherever, and then I, it's kind of horrific and I don't know if anyone would do this, but I get my webcam up,
yep,
and I get my hairbrush and I stand up and I perform to my webcam,
yeah,
and then I watch it back and I go, oh my god, it's unwatchable, but that bit I liked, and then I'll rearrange the bullet points and then try it again, and I'll do it and I'll do it, I'll do it until I can kind of feel like, I'll perform for myself until I feel that I can get a joke. And then when I'm happy with it, I leave it loose, except I know kind of the beats, but I try to leave it loose. And then on the night, I let the details, because it's my life. So I had my friend, I think I mentioned her on the notes, but Janae Henry, she always goes, I go, I'm worried I'm going to forget. She goes, you're not going to forget your life. You just, this happened yesterday. Like, you know what happened in that club, like, or whatever, you know, so you can tell that story. And then after that, after I clicked on that was my process, I felt so much better. Yeah.
And I love this idea of like getting to know the body through the webcam, if you know what I mean.
Oh my gosh, I know. It's like, oh, I'd hate for someone to get my computer. That would, because all of them are like, hello, like, kia ora, I'm Gabby. No, I hate it. And then I'll be like, start again. I won't even get past the first, like, I'll be like, how are we tonight? And then I'll be like, no, what, how humiliating. Like, so I really do have to push myself, but I think it's like, that's uncomfortable for me to do that. And maybe off, maybe I want to do it less, or I don't know, maybe there's something in that uncomfortableness to try get it good. Yeah,
I just really love that idea. Like, I know that with that little, like, I've started doing that a lot more for talks, where I actually, instead of writing, I record my voice, you know, and like, I just find telling the story over and over and over and over again is really great. And I think that is the next frontier. But I just think that idea of, I kind of never know where my body is, but I think that physical humor really works. Like, I think, I don't know, like, it's obviously because body language is part of it, isn't
there's
it?
There's something to be said about being in your body, and I'll just pace and pace. So, like, the webcam, you know, sometimes I'm like, is she in the webcam? what's that? You know, but I know that in improv, when I start a scene, I don't know who I am, I don't have any thoughts, but I do know that I can walk with a limp or do something like physical, like, and then all of a sudden I have a character, and all of a sudden I'm like a 74-year-old, you know, like, because, you know, just because of one little physical characteristic.
I really like that idea of sort of feeling our way into something, you know, because I think often, like, I know we're not all Cartesianly spit or whatever it is. You know, I know that it's not mind versus body. But I do think, I think that's what I found really interesting was that I'd spent all this time, like, talking into my thing, saying blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, I've memorized it. And all of a sudden I was standing and that thing about the hand, like, I was like, should I hold my hairbrush? I now have a microphone in my hand. And I think at one stage I kind of threw the microphone away and was talking to no microphone. You know, like, I had, I sort of went, you guys need to do this, and pointed with my microphone. And I just think, I don't know, like, it just makes me so excited because it feels, you know, like, so much of it, I just think that it hits that spot of theatre that I find, you know, all the things that I love about theatre,
yeah.
I think, as Joe Randerson pointed out, it's not much, but, you know, like, all the things that I sort of, all the things, all two things. Of them, yeah. I like talking and my body. No, I just think, you know, that idea of, like, that embodied kind of feeling is just incredible. Like, I didn't expect to get that. Yeah. I thought it would be, like, speaking out, hiding behind my face, but really it was just like, whoa, my whole presence is here.
I think so, because then we can get really caught up in our heads, and it's nice to be like, there's this, I don't want to say like tool, but you've got this other thing like that will help you and guide you, and if you trust it, then it will actually do some stuff.
Yeah. And
writing, being like,
do some stuff.
come on arms. But yeah, I just like don't know. I don't, it's so, like, it's good to try find your own way that works, and I'm happy that I found this way.
Yeah.
Because I felt so trapped and stuck and, like, up here. Yeah.
And, like, just this, I was just thinking, like, that idea that it was called stand-up. You know, there's something really, you know, it seems to imply the body in a way that I think I don't know, I think it's because, you know, a lot of the comedians, you know, when I think of, you know, Jenny Gruffalo and, you know, people like that, like, they seem to, it seems so natural, but then every now and then, I think I heard an interview with James Acaster and he was like, yeah, well, I like this particular microphone and I like this length of cord, and I was like, oh, so it's not just casual.
Wow. I need to start thinking about those things. I'm like, as long
imagine you've suddenly got a rider. No, sorry, this won't do.
Particularly well.
We're out of here. I'm out of here. One of the things that made me think on that night, like all sorts of things went through. I'm just so grateful that everyone was involved, because, like, just so much went through my head about the things that I'm thinking about.
And I was like, oh my goodness, I wish I had a notepad. Like, yeah. Everybody's perspectives, and, you know, it was really cool.
And just that really interesting thing of, like, what I think it did, I might be wrong, because it might have not been this successful, but I think it brought different communities together in a way that it was, yeah, like, I think what I really liked was that when, like, there was that moment where I'm not sure people were sure what was expected of them, I really liked that. So you've said that, like, you've sort of flipped your time around so that there's more time for comedy and that kind of thing. So what, is it possible that there's a normal day? Like, I mean, how do you structure a day where it's like, right, I've got 4 hours to give to this? I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I'm so fresh to this that I'm not sure, but basically what I wanted was I need time in the evenings and the weekends.
Yep.
And with teaching, you don't, you know, and because you love the kids and you want the best for their education, you just do that. And I was finding it hard to make those compromises. So I thought, if I am relieving, then I won't have to take the work home.
Yeah.
So then I can have a day, and I think then take the evening to gig kind of guilt-free, or like, and not be like, I'm going to delay that marking again. And, you know, yeah, I think I just needed to be in a different place where I can have a bit more balance.
Yep.
But then I think with writing, I don't know. I mean, I've never been like full-time, but I've been thinking about having like that, trying to have like a rich fulfilling kind of life, because that's where stuff is made. Stuff isn't made by being alone in my room with my hairbrush, with my webcam, as much as I try. Like, it is in the other moments when I'm out there, and sometimes when you're under a lot of time pressure, you can feel like, oh no, I can't have that experience or that experience because I've got to be creative, you know. So
so relate.
Yeah, you're like, maybe I need to go and have these experiences and be with people, and then that will follow. Me saying, like, signing up to more extracurricular activities and like saying yes to more social events, but maybe that's the answer.
I just so relate. I remember this moment when I did an MA, and so I was trying to write virtually a story every week, like a short story every week, and there was a lunar eclipse, and my partner and I were out on the lawn watching the lunar eclipse, and I was starting to write the short story already. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was just like, and I found myself, it was a real kind of crisis moment where I found myself saying to them lines that I sort of wanted to put in the short, sorry, I'm a terrible person.
I think
like having that space to be in places where you're not thinking this is going to be a rich place for blah, blah. You know, like, there's got to be some space in there, eh? Like,
I think so, yeah. Because we can get caught up and want to, like, be creative, but then, yeah, it's not... Then you're not present.
Yes! Yeah. Oh, my God, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. It's, like, thinking about... Yeah, like, sort of that weird... I always call it like writer's glasses. Like I've put on my writer's glasses, so yeah, I'm not in the moment. I'm already like, that was an interesting thing that they said. it's just wild. So when you, so at the moment, are you sort of working, like, is it something that someone like works towards something, or is it more that spontaneous? It just sounds like such a great moment for, like, do you know what I mean?
I thought, and this sounds maybe a bit like, I thought if I make space, I don't know what will come up. And that's what I need to do. Just have like an open mind and not count myself out before I give myself a chance. Because it doesn't always feel like you have permission to be on stage.
Mm.
And it feels quite audacious to say I'm a comedian. I mean, I was like, when I was flat viewing, I was like, the last thing I want to say is that I do comedy. Like, they, it's like, can't, like, come on. But like, it just, so I'm hoping that by kind of allowing, giving myself permission, I'll be able to grow more. Oh gosh.
No, I really like that, because I do think, I don't know what it's like for you, but I know that when I'm working a lot, often what it is like, I have to write this thing, and I've got this much time to write it in. And I think taking it back to that improvisation thing, like, I want those moments of surprise to be in there. And then, but if I'm writing to deadline, there's not often surprises coming.
Yeah, because it becomes, and that's another thing that I haven't experienced as much. When your creativity is your work, I imagine that's a whole different ballpark. I mean, there are probably many creatives like yourself that can speak much more clearly to that. But maybe I'm like on the outside. So I'm like, oh, I've got all these like big ideas, and like, talk to me in, I don't know, half a year, and I'm like, Pip.
I think it's going to be amazing. One of the other interesting things that I think is, like, it's I found your work through Amon Mara. Like I said to Amon, you know, like, who's good? And he was like, Gabby Anderson. I was like, yes, that's true. This is true. You've never put me wrong yet. And I always think, I know that Amon sort of has, is in the comedy world as well. But I was just thinking that night that we were performing, that idea of sort of writers and comedians.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, it was really interesting to me. I was thinking, what is the common thread? And I was thinking, maybe it's story, but I think also people love laughing. I don't know.
I think I would be with you and say story.
Mm.
Someone's got like a story to tell. I don't know if it, yeah, and or perhaps no. I think I'm just gonna sound like absolutely, but like, yeah, no. I think like observing, or I don't know, or like a feeling a little bit like feeling perhaps a touch removed from things, so trying to kind of understand things.
I relate to that an awful lot.
Yeah, like a little bit, like what?
And often that's where the comedy is, eh? Like in the what? Yeah, I really love that. And also I think, I don't know, like the thing that I often love about, and the like comedy and the stories that I like reading, the books that I like reading, often have in common is this observation of psychology. You know, like, you came to this situation and this was the direction you took. This was the decision you made.
Yeah.
Which I think is really intriguing.
And all the little, details and the way that everything kind of has worked out together and the assumptions of, you know, assumptions you make or what you perceive to be the way, and then you're sort of put wrong or not put wrong, but kind of you understand it different, as touch differently.
I think that's my crack cocaine, is just that idea that I know this is a dumb thing, but I read it somewhere, that idea that comedy is, you know, person starts car, pushes accelerator and goes backwards, you know. And I think I often think that is what I find so lovely. It's just that, you know, like I think that, and I think that that appeals to my idea that I often want to control things but am unable to control things. I find a lot of humor in that. I just find so much humor in
that. Same, you're like trying and you're like, oh, that didn't really work. Like, and when I listen to comedians that I like, just on the scene, you know, what I enjoy most is when they're sharing something about their life and their perspective, and it's only them, but it resonates in a way that you didn't expect.
I totally know what you mean. And just, I don't know, like just that thing where I don't know, I think that's another favorite genre of mine, is ain't people strange, you know, like just that thing where I'm thinking, oh, they're gonna react like this, and then they react in a completely different way, and then there's got to be an adjustment. And I think that sort of ties into that idea of short story or novel, is that a lot of what you're trying to do is, you know, oh, so you're, this is the regular, and then this happens that, you know, you're, it's going to have to be a different way. And I think that's what I really love about it. And I think I think the big crossover for me is structure, you know, just that idea of like you were talking about the callback, but just how life is sort of taken and put in a way that guides someone through.
That's so, when you said it like that, because you said your interest in structure, and I was like, obviously I'm thinking about structure, but it's I haven't really thought about structure. I just go, what do I like, you know, what do I like saying out loud? All right, let's pop it together and see how it, oh, I should put that at the middle, and you know, but you don't really, but then the structure kind of happens on the night at the time.
I'm sitting here nodding with a massive smile on my face, because I just love that idea that it's like that thing you said about, you know, what do I like saying? You know, I just think there's nothing more interesting than, you know, something that's held together by what's the next most interesting thing to say, or what's the next, you know. And I just think, that's the sort of structure that I really, really love.
I think so. And I think we think sometimes that our stories, they're just insignificant, but maybe it's because of the English teacher. I love hearing my students' stories, what they share from their lives. I'm like, that's so interesting. Don't you see that you're the only, you're the only person, but like, you know, your perspective and your experiences are so full. Yeah.
And I wonder if that is another thing about comedy, is that it's very infrequent we get to see someone's perspective out in the wild, and spoken, I guess, is what I mean, you know. And like, there is a real, I often find, I think, I'm trying to make a little, I've got a little notebook, I'm trying to make a category of laughs, and I think one of the laughs is, oh, me too, you know, like it's just like, I do that too.
That's
my favorite. Hey, thank you so much. We're nearly at the end. That's, and honestly, I was just going to ask one question, and I always ask this question, I'm never quite sure how to ask it, but it's about how to sustain ourselves in a creative career. Like, it's now starting to sound, the way that I said it just then sounded like I was running some kind of weird money making course.
And but you just can sign up today.
Sign up today. But yeah, I was just wondering, like, like however you want to share that, but how does one keeps oneself going, you know, in the world of trying to continue to stand up in front of people, trying to continue to offer something? I don't know.
Well, again, maybe I'm not going to count myself out, actually. I reckon that idea for me, what keeps me going, is the idea that we can, like, all develop and learn. And I really hope that I hold on to that idea, like, that, and maybe in my head that's why I'm like, I'm new, perhaps, even though I'm 5 years in, I don't know if that, that feels newish, but that idea that we can grow and we're allowed to make mistakes and we can keep learning and we can keep doing different things. I really hope that I can do different things. I was talking with my friend and we were saying how we kind of were perhaps falling into a pattern and noticing it, and they've been like, how can we break that and keep evolving? Because I think there's a lot more capacity. Yeah. So maybe that's my answer.
I really, really love that idea, because I think, you know, that idea of sometimes it's so, when something's working, it's really hard to say goodbye to it. But that idea of capacity like that is just so, you know, the fact that stopping doing it isn't going to make the road narrower, it's going to make it broader, which is just so great.
And then the more, I don't know, I felt like maybe I've been like putting off comedy or not really giving myself permission to do it, but and then maybe feeling bad, but then I was actually the more experiences we have in our lives, the richer that output. You know, it's not about sitting in a room and writing a joke, it's just about living your life and like connecting with people and like trying to grow as a person. Sign up today. And you know, so maybe that perspective is helpful.
I've got a saying that I keep saying to, well, I'm trying it out. I don't think I've ever actually said it to anyone, but just this idea that everything's writing, you know, like whether it's you know, doing the dishes, whether it's walking home, whether it's you know, I don't know, like it just feels like you say, like I think a particular, you know, I used to dream about having nothing but time to sit and write, and like then one day I got time to sit and write and everything I wrote was about sitting and writing, like, you know, like, oh, I hadn't like left the house, you know what I mean, like it was just like, and then the writer said yeah, it was just
in a different chair.
Yeah, in a different chair, looked out a different window. But yeah, I just think that this, yeah, I just think living's important. I don't know, I love it. Oh my god, living's important.
You know, we're here to say it, we're here to make those calls.
It's blooming great. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for coming along. Is there anything else you want to say?
No, I just thank you for having me on this podcast. It's been like, I feel like my mind has been absolutely working. I'm like, what is funny, but I've really enjoyed talking about it with you. So thank you.
I think insights. Yeah, I just really appreciate it, because it's really, I don't know, like I know that it's, I just feel like it helps me tremendously, even though I might not do stand-up, it really helps me tremendously with my writing. Like I just think some of the questions, I just think that's what I love about it, is some of the questions you're talking about and sort of ruminating on are very related to stories of fiction.
That's how I'm feeling with you. I'm like, maybe I'll write a short story.
Please do. Oh my god, I would so, I'm there for it.
Points, and it'll be to my webcam.
But you know, that's a thing. You know, that's brilliant. Oh, thank you so much, Debbie. Have a good night. Thank you.